From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We actually got a little rain, which we needed over the weekend. Maybe a little more in store for the for the next few days. But boy, looking ahead to this weekend, gorgeous football weather. I mean, I haven't looked today, but when I looked yesterday, the high was going to be in the low 70s with a low in the mid 50s for Saturday. So what perfect football weather for Saturday when the Georgia Bulldogs come in town looking to avoid a big upset like we saw a couple of over the weekend. Dan, you talked about it looked like a big chalk week.
Although we wondered about Florida. That's the one because the other teams, because I think the rest of the conference played out as expected.
I didn't expect UCLA to beat Penn State.
No, the rest of the conference. Right. I think we both thought.
Although Mississippi State was, that game was interesting for a little while, but then no.
I think we both thought they were probably several scores worse than, or at least I thought they were several scores worse. Alabama was probably going to end up being several scores better than Vanderbilt. Kentucky scores at the very end to make that a cover, but they're not – like, that game was never close either. The shocker from this past weekend in the conference had to be – and I don't know. I mean, you can pick either side, right? Is it Florida connecting and putting some things together and playing their best football? Is that the story? Or is the story – that a team a lot of people thought...
Preseason number one. First time ever Texas had been the preseason number one. They probably don't ever want to be preseason number one again.
Yeah.
Or at least they won't for a while.
And I think maybe the most shocking thing this deep into the college football season is the difference between the hype around Arch Manning coming into the year and what you've actually seen in two games against major conference opponents.
Hard to argue that.
I mean, you had Paul Feinbaum saying he thought Arch Manning was going to have, I'm paraphrasing, but I believe he said something along the lines of, he thought Arch Manning was going to have the best season by an SEC quarterback since Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Okay, so just real quick, list of names. Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, Joe Burrow, Tua, Bryce Young,
Jaden Daniels,
Mac Jones. Like, there are some very good quarterbacks that you're putting, you're saying you expect Arch Manning to beat out. There are two games this year where I would believe he was a true freshman playing his first game. Not a third year guy who had been waiting and plays on arguably the most talented team in the conference.
No. We've talked for the last few years about quarterbacks struggling under pressure. Arch Manning has just been awful.
Yeah.
Under pressure.
Florida does that to, it skips a generation because Eli played pretty well against the Gators in his career, but Peyton had his struggles in the swamp as well. But no, I thought you can make this about Florida, although they go, they're about a 10-point dog at A&M this weekend, so we'll see if they can carry over some of that momentum. But
it's a lot different on the road.
But I think
life is a lot different on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that Texas, I mean, and maybe there are some Auburn parallels in that we haven't really seen them play a really good team at home, and maybe you get something different there. But
well, you sure hope so if you're Auburn.
Well, that's maybe a pivot to, you know, talking about this weekend, but it's I think other than like it was largely chalk in the conference
this weekend. Yeah. But there were a couple of huge the Florida Texas, I mean, and then UCLA Penn State. You talk about out of nowhere an 0-4 UCLA team that was just they looked like they were everybody they played appeared to be a mismatch for them.
It was reasonable on Friday to think UCLA was going to go 0-12.
Yes,
like they looked like a team that could maybe do that, and instead they beat a team that folks that went to last year's playoff.
Another preseason top five team,
and was just in overtime. Like Penn State, if Penn State had beaten Oregon going into that UCLA game, they would have been what number? I mean, at two or three at the lowest.
Yes,
at the lowest. The lowest, and probably getting some number one votes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
they're out of the top 25,
and it's, I mean, it is, yeah, sinking like a stone, and that is. Yeah, maybe the most remarkable upset of the season so far for for UCLA, for that UCLA team to pick up that win. And, you know, as much as I'd like to make some of that about UCLA and the new Heisel story is cool, but that's a Penn State disaster, right? Like, that is a disastrous loss for Penn State. And they look like they had a pretty manageable schedule the rest of the way. I just wonder if Penn State wins out. Like, will it be – they don't have Ohio State, do they?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they win out, will they have enough needle-moving wins to make up for a loss like that? Do they need to win the conference? Like, they're, you know, they've got some they got some problems there in Happy Valley.
Oh, there's no question about it. So
you got trouble. It's like the music man.
Yeah, that's right, with a capital T. we are just underway. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Brian Matthews will be joining us. He is wrapping up podcast for – that they do weekly over there. So he'll be in shortly, and we'll get his thoughts. Met with Hugh Freeze today, and it was funny. All right, so I talked with Jason Caldwell for a few minutes just before the press conferences, and he was saying, this is one of those days where, you know, you just got to try to get through it because there's not going to be any news. You don't expect that Hugh Freeze is going to talk about any drastic changes. If they're making them, why do you talk about them? So there's not – and look, there's not going to be a change of quarterback. And for the most part, it went that way. But I thought the very last question of the day was the most interesting item.
Is the X –
Yes. Thing? Yeah. I mean, there was a question about Xavier Chaplin – who has struggled at left tackle for the last couple of road games. And Hugh Freeze said, you know, because he was asked, have they contemplated a change or, you know, what have they done about that?
That's the quote, if you want to.
Oh, yeah, okay. He said, he was asked, all right, had they contemplated any changes, what have they done about that,
don't let the screen lock.
Make sure no. And then he said, "We've done some testing on his hearing, and there's an issue there."
Yeah.
I mean that, and you know, there'd been a little. Remember, X said after the Texas A&M game that he was that he hadn't heard, he couldn't hear some of the snap counts. Look, I can relate 100% to what Xavier Chaplin is talking about. I can have a hearing test, and I'll test pretty darn well. Mm. I hear, I can hear small sound. I mean, light sounds. I hear things a lot of times before other people do. But get me in a room where there is a lot of other noise, like in a restaurant where there's a lot of silverware and ice, you know, just making noise and conversation. I have a really tough time. I have to be looking at someone, really focusing to be able to try to understand. And you've got a football helmet on, and you've got a 300-pounder lined up ahead of you. You're not just turning your head, and you can't. First of all, you can't read the quarterback's lips because he's behind you. So that is something. And Hugh Freeze said, "Look, he wished they'd done that before, and that's on them." But I mean, that's something you don't think about, and it's probably something that Xavier Chaplin didn't want to make a big deal of. I don't know that he'd been in places as loud as the places he's been the last 2 weeks, either in his career at Oklahoma and Texas A&M. So that is something I thought was really interesting. And they're doing some other things. Now, he wouldn't say exactly what they're doing. But, I mean, there are things you can do. There's silent counts. There are things you can do where you're not having to wait to hear a voice or hear a hand clap to be able to play. And as Hugh Freeze said, when he gets off the ball on time, he's pretty good.
You're not going to face a road atmosphere. I mean, unless Auburn turns this into a playoff run, like, you're not going to face a road atmosphere like the ones you faced the last 2 weeks, the rest of the season.
No, either. You're right.
I mean, you've got Vanderbilt and Arkansas, and it's an Arkansas team with a new head coach. You know, so it's a different sort of situation. Maybe they'll circle the wagons for Bobby if they show some life. But I think by and large,
yeah,
those are two of the lesser home.
Two of the tougher. Vandy at Arkansas.
Vandy at Arkansas.
Yes.
Yeah, I think in contrast to what Auburn's faced in the last couple of weeks.
Oklahoma and A&M will be two of the louder home crowds that anybody will face.
And I think the schedule the rest of the way is part of the reason this game is so huge. The thought that if Auburn puts the pieces together, they've got a shot in every other game they play the rest of the way. You know, that's part of it. The belief that there, you know, this season could still be something special, but you've also got the more pressing, like if things don't improve.
Oh yes.
Like where does it go from here? And I was asked about that on the Doug Show earlier today, and I guess the way I would describe my position is, I don't think it's right to say, well, if Auburn loses to Georgia, no matter the circumstances, on Sunday, Hugh Freeze probably needs to go. I don't think I would agree with that position. I know some people are there. I would say, if you don't see offensive improvement, if it stagnates from A&M or gets worse, that's a situation where I would understand on Sunday saying, like, and in a loss too, because if it's. Like I think if you beat Georgia, no matter what, you're not talking about.
Yeah, no
kid. You're not in the style points industry right now. Auburn has lost 10 of its 11 games against the top 25 under Hugh Freeze. If you pull off a win like this, it doesn't matter how you do it. If you were to lose with significant offensive improvement, if Auburn were to play a great game offensively and it's not enough Saturday against Georgia, I would say you probably still need to let him coach at least the Missouri game. Like that would be, I mean, I don't know where you are on this, Bill, but I would say if you were to make offensive improvements, but it's not enough to beat Georgia, clear offensive improvements, but it's not enough to win Saturday.
Yeah, I mean,
No. But if things stay where they've been the last couple of weeks in conference, especially the A&M game, or slide backwards as they did from Oklahoma to A&M, If things were to continue to spiral, and you lost to Georgia in a game that's not very competitive, I don't know. I could see the position on Sunday being like where do you
tenuous at best.
Where do you go from here?
Yeah.
And I think that it would be, I think there'd be an argument on the table to especially if you're continuing to get winning football out of the defense, right? Like if the thought is you're getting winning football out of the defense and the offense is not pulling its weight and you're losing winnable games against good teams because of it. Yeah, I could see that's been trouble for other Auburn coaches in the past.
It has. I still think that the resources are there for Auburn to make a significant improvement on offense. Now, part of it, as Hugh Freeze said today, part of it's got to be play calling. You've got to do some things that other teams are expecting. You've got to run the ball more. I mean, I was going to ask a question, but we ran out of time there at the end. And one of the things we've talked about is how Auburn has struggled so much at the outset of ball games. I mean, Auburn's usually you think of scripted plays early in ball games. Auburn has a chance to get the script past three plays. I mean, Auburn's gone three and out.
Well, and that was
in its road games and its Power Four games.
That was something Doug asked me about. Was the and maybe a texter brought up the idea that like Auburn needs to Auburn's tempo has been off the last couple of weeks, and that's part of the problem.
Golly, you got to get a first down to have some tempo though.
And you probably don't need to go backwards on first down.
No,
like when it's second and when you've made the problem worse, either with a negative play or a penalty, it throws off the desire to try to play the tempo game. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned that there's no talk of a quarterback change. I didn't really think, at no point during like the buildup to A&M did I think coming out of the Oklahoma game, oh, Auburn should switch quarterbacks. I thought that would have been like a big, if you wanted a quarterback change after Oklahoma, I think that was probably an overreaction to the Oklahoma game. I've had multiple people tell me they would have liked to see a new quarterback in the game for the second half of A&M. People who know football.
But the thing is, at what point did you feel like you didn't have a chance?
I mean, during the game, I wasn't necessarily thinking, "Hey, switch quarterbacks." But I can understand the belief that Auburn in the second quarter looked hapless enough that you needed to do something kind of drastic. I don't know. Like I understand your point is right
when you're playing a top 10 team on the road and you've still got a shot.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to make a change unless you, the head coach and the quarterback coach, have doubts in your quarterback. Mm. If you don't think there's that much difference, then you'd make a change. I think that is the reasoning right there, and Hugh Freeze said it again today. Look, he pointed out some of the flaws with Jackson Arnold and said they're still working on him. That does think that Jackson at time, there may be a little fear in there after that second read, and they're working on it. But I still don't get the sense that they feel like anybody else they have would give them a better chance of winning. And so while you're still fighting and while you're still in games like this against top-ranked teams, it's very, very difficult to make a change when you've got when your starter is still healthy.
Yeah, the A&M game was the only point where you got the sense that, like, I heard it explained once that when the starter's not doing the routine anymore, like, forget about making the superstar plays, the big-time plays. When the routine stuff is going wrong, that's when you think, okay, do we have a problem here? The only time there were times, the first time this season, I thought where it's like against A&M, it's like, okay, you can make a case that some of this maybe should be routine for a quarterback. I don't know, again, without knowing what you're going to get out of any of the other guys, like my sense is Jackson Arnold should be the guy, and you need to figure out what he does really well and build the offense around him. If you're going to keep doing what you've seen the last couple of weeks.
Then sure, you probably ought to make a change.
But it would be quarterback number five under Hugh Freeze, and the last four, you would have had the fans saying, "Hey, wait until you see the next guy."
Well, I mean, now I do feel better. I feel like there's some things they can do about left tackle now, and I think that's probably going to help whoever is taking the snaps at quarterback. Man, I mean, just think about knowing that your left tackle hasn't been able to hear the snap count or when the ball's being snapped.
Right, but again, I would worry about that more on the road, right? As far as being dealing with that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. No question.
It's almost like you wish you'd had that breakthrough
Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
But better late than never.
Yeah.
And it seems like it could influence Xavier's performance. I agree. I think it's more philosophical stuff with Hugh and getting the most out of Jackson, however you do it. Mm-hmm. And I think everything that you thought was possible with this team, for the most part, is still there.
Still there. If you win this ball game and you're 4-2 and you beat a top 10 Georgia team, yes.
But this thing could go really, really sour on Saturday night.
It could. So. But you've still got to. I mean, like Hugh said, it's all right. They wipe out the stuff they've got. They've got a chance to. They've still got a chance to get to where they want. But it's got to start with a win on Saturday night. We'll talk. We know a little more about the future schedules, including next week and next year. And we'll talk about those and more when we come back. Again, Brian Matthews will be joining us here shortly. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Brian Matthews will be joining us here at some point here this afternoon after he gets done with some work. As a matter of fact, he just pulled into the parking lot, so he'll be joining us here in just a minute or two.
We'll preview the Georgia game with Brian. Bill, you teased before the break some news about Auburn's schedule in the future.
Yeah, now, first of all, the short-term future, the Missouri game next week is a 6:45 game on ESPN. So we know that Auburn now will play back-to-back night games at home. Fans got to like that as another pretty good team coming in next week. We'll find out a little more about Missouri this week when they host Alabama, but it will be their first trip away from Columbia when they come in next week.
Am I nuts to say, Bill, I don't want to generalize here, younger fans are going to be really excited about back-to-back night games.
Oh, yeah.
I know some folks that were maybe rooting for the 2:30 spot with Missouri a week later, just because it's a big commitment, but it's also really good time and an atmosphere that Auburn will proudly tout as second to none. So we'll see what it looks like. But so Auburn, Missouri.
Yeah, Auburn, Missouri is next Saturday night. But then the other news that came out right after Hugh Freeze's press conference today was the Auburn Baylor game, which is the return from the trip out to Waco this year, is not going to be played in Auburn. It's going to be played in Atlanta, and it is going to be an NIL. The reason that is being moved is for NIL, as I believe, and Brian Matthews sitting down here beside us now. B-Man, I believe it's somewhere in the $5 million range that's supposed to be going to players NIL.
Yeah, I don't know the exact amount. I wrote about this in a column about
the university press release. The university press release calls it a multi-million dollar partnership. That's they haven't put a number.
I haven't
on
had
it,
a but. Chance to read Justin's story, so I don't know what number he had in there. But it is about NIL, right? And this is the way college football is going. You don't have to like it. I certainly don't.
Look, as a season ticket holder, I'm not crazy about it either. I mean, now there's only six home games on Auburn's schedule next year, because Auburn has only four conference games at home in that nine-game schedule. Yeah. Five conference games on the road now, a big non-conference game against Baylor on the road.
Florida, LSU, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas, Auburn's four home SEC games next year. And five conference road games in the first year of the nine-game schedule, and including road games against Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee. Right, Auburn going to Knoxville next year as well, and also a trip to Atlanta to play the Baylor Bears in the opener.
Yeah, so we'd love your thoughts. Again, season ticket holders are going, well, gee, when I first heard about it, I was asked immediately, is that going to be part of our season ticket package? No.
No.
No, it will not.
No. So this is a bad era for fans, right? You are getting nickeled and dimed.
Yep.
For everything. I'm not talking just Auburn.
Sometimes larger chains than that.
Yes. I'm talking about everywhere.
Yep. Oh, you're right.
Now you've got more of these neutral site games, which cost a lot more money traveling, paying for tickets, et cetera, losing those home games. You're, of course, hurting businesses that rely on that type of money and count on having a certain number of home games per year. So that's another issue to deal with there. And then fan-wise, too, if you are a team that goes to the playoffs on a regular basis, Auburn is not that team at this moment, more games that you have to pay to travel and go to, often many, many miles away from your home base. So,
yeah, that money you save by missing a bowl game or two the last couple of years. How important is? I mean, we've heard people talking about the NIL deals, and a lot of this money used to go directly to universities for these neutral site games, and I do think it's a step in the right direction that now players are being paid more directly for participation in games like this. At the same time, everything you said is true about why it's unfortunate that this game can't be played at Auburn. I also don't know if Baylor's ever played at Auburn before. I met a lot of people in Waco.
No, they have not.
Yeah, I met a lot of people in Waco that were really looking forward to the return trip and seeing.
Yeah, another thing.
Yeah, that is a shame.
I didn't speak personally to thousands, but I got the sense there were a lot of people at that game impressed by the way Auburn turned out with 8,000 to 10,000 people in Waco, and they really wanted to see what game day was going to be like. When Auburn rolled out the red carpet for a premium non-conference matchup. Instead, that game and it probably it probably gets a better TV slot. If it's just one of many games on a loaded week one on a Saturday, right? Like maybe it gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. This way, it's a big focus, but yeah, unfortunate. I think because of the of the fact that it's it's a missed you take the loss. Everything you gain doesn't seem to make up for the loss of a home game, right? Especially to
To fans,
especially from where we sit.
Yeah,
like maybe it makes sense if you got the little bean counter hat on, right? Like if you got the
Hey, it's cool for the players. I mean, the players don't mind going to Atlanta and playing.
According to Justin, this says this move could bring between 4 and 8 million in NFL funds to our players, which is huge. That is a pot that you can recruit from, right? This is money that you can offer players right now for players that are going to be here next year. So this is a big deal. It's almost, you can be mad at John Cohen, but it's almost, you almost have to do this. There's almost not a decision to be made.
Oh, no, you're right.
If you're going to compete right now, you need those extra NIL dollars that can make the difference between you getting this five-star quarterback or five-star tackle. Now there's another issue at Auburn right now with how you do you evaluate those guys good and do you put them in offense where they can succeed? Well, I don't know. But ultimately, you've got to have this in order to get the players, in order to have a good team.
Yeah, you need to have that war chest or whatever. Yes. I mean, and yeah, it is a shame that it comes in a season when Auburn only has the four conference home games. I mean, you'd love to be able to get switched out. But the other thing is, we've seen a lot of teams going away. They don't want to play these. They don't want to play these neutral site games because you don't want to lose those home games. Yeah. But if you can get a situation like this where you're getting most of the gate and the money's going to NIL, right. Yeah, you're going to see more of these.
And I think you're probably going to see some SEC games also move to this model. Some of them, not a whole bunch, but one or two a year maybe.
Conference games?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, back to Jackson, things like that.
Every school in the country knows this is a viable way to make money and have that extra NIL dollars that impacts recruiting so much. So they are all going to be clamoring to find any way they can get a game into the situation.
If there was a way to do it, I actually would like a schedule with four home, four road, and one neutral, as opposed to 4 and 5.
Oh yeah.
If you could find a way to make that work with the ninth conference game, if everyone in the conference played four home, four road, one neutral, and you found a way to make that, I think that's a better schedule than alternating 4 and 5. Now you'd have to go back.
I've got an idea. Let's play the Iron Bowl in Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, play Georgia and Jacksonville.
Yeah. I'm just joking, folks.
Well,
just
one joking. One way you could do that though, and do it in a big way, is have the Big Ten SEC Challenge. And have all those games on a full weekend starting
I've been such a fan of something like that. It would be great to do that.
Spread it out, right?
And then have it all be NIL based too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you could do something like that. Yep.
Yeah. I guess. But you're still dealing with nine conference games, right? Like you'd still have four home and five road.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And with Brian saying, if you're going to explore neutral site SEC game, certainly rather than anyone playing three home games, you know what I mean? Like you find a way to make it work, and the fact that you now have an odd number of, you have some years where you play five and some years where you play four. Yeah, just find a either a rival or just a special showcases. Yeah, Auburn can play A&M in New Orleans, right? Or Auburn could play there's ways to make that work. But yeah, I think it's again unfortunate you lose home games, but I kind of like the. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of if you're gonna do that, use it. If you're gonna do neutral site games, use it to balance out the conference schedule as best you can.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Travis, hang on, you'll be up first when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Travis, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Bud. Hey, what? So we're playing a game in Atlanta for NIL money.
Yes.
Okay. What venue do you need to go to pay for a coach's buyout? I mean, we're taking a home game away to have a bunch of money for talent that's going to be squandered if Hugh Freeze is still the coach. I don't understand it. And I going back to what y'all said in the first part of the program, I don't know any way that Hugh Freeze is going to keep his job after this year. I don't know how he's going to keep his job after the Georgia game. We keep talking about that. I heard you say it earlier in the show that, well, if there's a way that the offense can improve is in spring and fall practice. And year after year after year, we keep getting let down. We get all this talent. And Auburn fans are enamored with all the talent that we get, and I'm glad we're getting talent. But we can't coach them up. We don't have the coach to do the job. And I'd love to take some of this money and be able to, you know, pay some of this buyout and just go ahead and let's just stop the charade. Because let's say we did beat Georgia. You really think, you really honestly think that Hugh Freeze is the guy to carry us to the playoffs, possibly a national championship? I don't think so. And I'm just going to hang up and listen. Thank you for your time.
It's an interesting question if he beats Georgia.
If he beats Georgia, it's hard to see him being here
that,
next
that
year.
That changes the whole outlook on the season in a lot of
ways. I guess if he beat Georgia, you know, 16-13.
I don't think it matters how he beats Georgia.
No, I'm just saying it wouldn't make everybody
feel great
about his long-term future.
Yeah, if you're
I still think a win over Georgia, you get a win over Georgia or Alabama, it's tough to say goodbye.
If you're gaming this out, like if Auburn were to beat Georgia in a slugfest and you still left the game full of questions about the Auburn offense and then you laid an egg against Missouri a week later.
That'd be tough.
I do wonder if it would have the potential of erasing some of that goodwill.
Some of it, yes.
There's a lot of ifs in
but this, I but no, I think in general, like if you're talking about, I said it before you got here, Brian. I think if you're talking about genuine offensive improvement or a win, if you get either of those things Saturday, I don't think you're talking in the short term about making a change. I think if you get like if Auburn gets winning football from Georgia or winning football from the offense in a loss, I just think it would be tough on Sunday to say, all right, that's your last game. I'd maybe give them the Missouri game in that situation. If you don't get either of those things on Saturday, if you don't get improvement from the Auburn offense, and if you don't get a competitive game against Georgia and it's a loss, that would feel. That would feel like something is like it's, you know, like the lights are going out.
Yeah. How's it going to work? How is it going to work if you put up a third straight, very disappointing offense?
And what kind of reception,
especially if you got thumped at home?
And what kind of reception would you be in line for a week later against Missouri too?
What type of reception is he going to have if he lays an egg Saturday night in Jordan Hare? Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And I don't blame anybody right now for bailing on it. Right, for already being like, I'm out. I'm done with it. Right. I can understand that.
Completely. I can understand that. But again, you've got an opportunity. You got an opportunity Saturday night. And look, I said it a while ago before you got here, Brian. Auburn's got the I think they have the talent to be able to be much better offensively.
They do.
They got to call better plays.
Yeah.
They've got to stop making so many mistakes. Maybe they understand where some of those came from when we talked about Xavier Chaplin. I mean, it's going to be at home though. That you shouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
Look. I understand completely what the problem with Xavier Chaplin could be.
Right.
Get me in a room where there's a lot of people, and I really struggle. I mean, I struggle hearing, you know, noises, even if I'm straining to hear them.
Right.
It's a shame that they didn't know, and I wonder, this seems silly, but I mean, do you do those kinds of tests normally on players?
Probably should. Probably should always check. I mean, if you're a baseball position player, you should always have their eyesight checked, right? That should be like routine, right?
But I mean, you can do hearing tests, and if you're not doing hearing tests with background noise,
right?
I mean, I can hear some things that a lot of other people can't at times.
Yeah.
But when there's a lot of different noise, I just hear noise.
Yeah.
So, but, I don't know.
I think if you look at Hugh Freeze objectively, he has done a great job recruiting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a really good job of running this program from top to bottom, I think. I think he's got a good staff. I think the players are bought in. I don't think there's a lot of issues.
No, I think they've got the culture that they want.
Right. I think all that's good. His offense is just not working.
No.
And it's not just not working. It's really, 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 really not working. Like, it's bad. You know, it's not even close.
The last time you saw it, it was really not working.
Yeah, he lamented today that he's always had an offense been able to move the ball.
Yeah.
Well, not – Not lately.
Yeah, you had some worrisome things against Oklahoma, but you also had some things that you thought, all right, you can build on that. A&M, it's tough to find anything the offense did where you were.
Maybe A&M's better defensively than we thought. I don't know.
So could he, him or
they,
somebody
they shut,
staff,
they shut Mississippi State down pretty darn well,
could
too.
Could they figure things out offensively? Maybe. I'm not saying no. Would the best thing with Hugh Freeze as a head coach would it have been, and this is hindsight, it's just him to stick with an offensive coordinator and just run the program? Probably would have been the best thing for Auburn.
But that's one of the reasons he was brought in.
Right.
At some point.
And it's always going to be a problem with somebody who is known for that.
It is.
For them not to be, you know, to stay away from it.
And you can't keep counting on it. But it is worth mentioning you've had three other times when Auburn went in off of a disastrous performance and they were facing a team that had more talent and the game was far more competitive than folks thought it was going to be based on those two facts. Auburn, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, both in 2023. Auburn didn't win either of those games, but you have a lead in the fourth quarter against two teams that were considerably better than you. Yep. Last year, Auburn comes off the Vanderbilt game and plays A&M. Like that. So, I mean, it's three different times Hugh Freeze has gotten up off the canvas and come back and thrown some punches.
Yeah.
And so, and all three of those games were at home.
It's like the meme where the guy comes out of the, is it the Undertaker comes out of the, out of the casket or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the wrestlers. I don't know.
Or you know what? Or the Black Knight, if you've seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
It's only Flesh Wound.
Yeah. It's, that's your leg's over there. No, it's not. That's stupid, easily provable lies. But it's, I think if Auburn can, I mean, absolutely, I think Auburn has the potential. And plus, you've seen at different points big stuff from the passing game.
I have not seen enough of that. But
Not enough. You've seen some, and you saw the run game against Baylor. Like there are things to think. You know, is it possible?
Yeah, sure. It's just hard to think that it's just going to change.
It is too.
That suddenly.
I mean, I'm just not sold.
We'll see though. I mean, hey, I'll be there Saturday. All right, let's get to the phones. We've got more calls holding. 334-321-1390 and Rob is up next. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Y'all are talking about the hearing. I told y'all last week, Hugh Freeze commented when he was coming off the field at halftime about Xavier Chaplin. He goes, I'm not sure he can hear.
Yeah.
I remember a player at Auburn, 1983, Victor Beasley from Adairsville, Georgia.
Yeah, I remember Vic.
Back, number 31. He had a depth perception or a retina problem. He was a wide receiver, but he could not catch the ball on routes. As they checked his eyes, got him fixed. He was a hell of a defensive back. And in the 1983 Iron Bowl, tornado warning aside, Jefferson County, we were all there in the stadium, raining so hard you couldn't see across the field. He made a diving interception to seal the win for Auburn. Number 31, Vic Beasley, Adairsville, Georgia. Doctors save the day. As far as John Cohen goes, you know, Auburn was already only going to have 7 home games last year. What that does to the economy, you know, I remember, I'll never forget, working at Channel 3 back in 89, the economic impact for a home game at Auburn then was about $8 million for a home game. I would imagine now it's in the $30 to $40 million range. He just kicked in the groin, in the swimsuit area, I'll say that. Auburn business owners, merchants, hotel owners, to sell out to go to Atlanta. This, I mean, look, all the goodwill on recognizing the national championships that Auburn was afraid to recognize because they were worried about what Alabama might say about Auburn instead of just doing it like Alabama did because they don't care what people say about them, basically just went up in smoke.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Rob. I mean, as we were talking a little while ago, Auburn's not going to be the only school. They're one of the first to do this, but you're going to see a lot of schools looking to take advantage of such an opportunity.
And I will add that, maybe this is an opportunity for those local business owners to get together and try to do more for NIL to keep this from happening. You know, maybe they can come up with a plan. Because right now, to maintain this football program, you have to have this NIL money. You have to have a way to try to separate yourself from other schools. And this right now is the best way to do it. It's nobody wants to, make Auburn's local businesses.
Hurt them. No. You don't want to hurt the local economy. No, not at all.
But if you're John Cohen, you want to have the best
potential
football program. Right.
That's right.
Or everything falls apart.
Appreciate the call, Rob. We're running behind. Got to get to our final break of hour number one. John, Uncle Ollie, hang on, guys. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment of hour number one here on this Monday. And right back to the phones. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey guys, good afternoon. I had a thought just on the conversation of neutral site, you know, SEC games. And when you look back in the day, Legion Field, Veterans Stadium in Jackson, mm-hmm. the Liberty Bowl, these venues that held these teams, I don't know if those venues are in a state that would be suitable for hosting SEC games. I don't know if the conference would be willing to invest money in those markets. What if you used on-campus SEC sites for neutral site games? Play Florida, Arkansas, and Tuscaloosa, or Auburn.
Oh, wow.
And then you could get your local merchants more involved in NIL because you'd get 8 or 9 Saturdays a year instead of 6.
What would that say about college football if you had to do that? Like that was the only way you can make it work. You
I think it makes more sense to play him in an NFL stadium.
But, so yeah, that
would be crazy.
That would just tell you.
Hey, got nothing to do this. Well, you'd also come and watch, you know.
You may have the infrastructure issue of bringing two big fan bases to a town like Starkville or Auburn. You know, right. that might, like, try, you know, hosting LSU Tennessee in Auburn. You know, it's there could be some issues there logistically, right? You know, doing that game in the middle of the season, you know, hotel access, things like that. I don't hate the idea necessarily, but I understand why for media and hotel and seating, you know, reasons these things are done in NFL stadiums. But that's an interesting thought of you know moving some of these games to SEC towns.
And one last question I had was Darrell Robinson. I'm taking it that he's available Saturday.
That's interesting because he may have just forgotten to mention.
Yeah, he may have because I mean Hugh talked about Horatio and then said everybody else, but yeah, I didn't think he'd be ready this soon.
I mean, I guess we'll get that answer tomorrow. Wednesday.
Well, we look for him tomorrow at the see if he's working with the running backs. Right. I don't believe. Yeah, I mean he's been on his own sort of plan.
But I would not make that assumption at the moment.
Okay, just checking. Thank you, guys.
Good question, John. Thanks. 334-321-1390. Oh, did we lose Uncle Ollie? Uncle Ollie, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left here in hour number one.
Yeah, I spent the last commercial break looking at some of the SEC matchups in 2026 and trying to think, you know, where you could move some of these games for neutral site purposes, but that could come down the line, I think, as far as playing SEC games, you know, at neutral sites rather than home games. But as many non-conference games as you can would make, I guess, some economic sense, although I do understand the local sting of moving, you know, not just a game, but a game that would have been the opener.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
An opener like Baylor, you know where you're.
That's your big non-conference game.
Like not only
next year.
Not only is it.
And you've lost Alabama and Georgia as home games. Yeah. What'd you say? LSU, Arkansas, Florida, and Vandy?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And it's, I mean, but it's.
Nice to get Florida back in. Nice to get LSU back in. Yeah. But, you know, it's. So that's a tough home schedule.
I'll tell you what, and Arkansas always travels, right?
It's Southern Miss, another team that Auburn used to play a lot.
Hey,
right? remember that?
That's true. Yeah. The Nasty Bunch.
Yep. Bill's got a good Nasty Bunch story. We'll tell when that game gets a little bit closer. but the thought that you could play, like not just that you're playing Baylor.
That was my mom's here.
That's right. the Baylor the thought that it's like not only is it the Auburn opener where you have all the pomp and circumstance that comes with, hey, it's a big Auburn game. You also would have had all those Baylor fans in here. Like it's a big loss.
It's a shame
for
that college football is having to do this.
You're right, it is. But they got two. Hey, we've got a couple of minutes left, and Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey guys, tell me what y'all think about the deal with Chaplin and not hearing.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I just was wondering. I don't know if they do specific hearing test to be able to tell if you can hear, you know, with crowd noise, or if you just have hearing. I really don't know exactly what all they do with that, but I've got that same kind of problem. That when there's a lot of background noise, it's hard for me to hear
the snap
any specific thing. A hand clap? I don't know that I'd hear that.
Brett, I think that it's the rest of the way, and it seemed like Xavier Chaplin performed okay in the home games earlier this year. So the rest of the way, you wonder how much crowd noise is going to impact Auburn. The two road games are Arkansas and Vanderbilt. But certainly, it seems like it's a possible explanation for how much he struggled in those two games against Oklahoma and A&M.
Okay, but don't you think it's kind of hard to hear playing down on the field in front of 100,000 people anyway? I mean,
Not so much when you're at home. I mean, the crowds are pretty trained to not be as noisy. But, I mean, there are other things they can do. They can go silent. There are things that they can try to work around. Now, Hugh Freeze didn't give us specifics today as to what they're going to do, but I'm sure they've got something in mind. Because if they can get the Xavier Chaplin they thought they were bringing in playing there at left tackle, that'd be a big help.
That'd help out, yeah.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Brett. We've got to step aside for our top-of-the-hour break. Halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We're right back with hour number two.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, or welcome in, folks, if you're just joining us. It is hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. It is the beginning of Georgia Week, which has been, quite frankly, Brian, that's been a rough week for Auburn for a couple of decades now.
Yep, 17 of 20 Auburn has lost in this series last 20 games. So it's time for that to change. Right?
And they haven't beaten Georgia since Georgia's regular season trip to Auburn in 2017, right, which was then followed by Georgia winning the SEC title and knocking Auburn out of the last time they had a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yep, been a minute. It really has. And Auburn hasn't won over there since
2006.
4th and 17, right?
Yeah.
Brandon Cox, Courtney Taylor, Devin Roman should do. Yeah.
Yeah, hard to believe we're coming up on 20 years.
That's crazy.
Georgia coming in off a win over Kentucky after their loss to Alabama a week ago. Auburn, of course, had an open date, but as Hugh Freeze said today, not the way you want to go into an open date coming off a couple of losses. The way Auburn suffered them at Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
No, and they practiced an extra day last week. They spent extra time, the coaches, offensive coaches, working on the issues, self-scouting, trying to solve the problems on offense. I know we all have the answers here on radio, of course, but they are trying to figure it out.
If only they would listen, yeah. Right, Brian?
Run the daggum ball, right?
Yeah, I think some of that's, I mean,
more I, for yeah. sure. Yes. Yes.
I mean, it doesn't alleviate all your problems, but I do think it gets back to, I don't know. I mean, when you talk about an offense and you use words like identity, more and more
what's the identity of this offense?
Well, I think in general the answer to that question is what's your quarterback
12?
what's your quarterback really
Third
good
long.
At?
Yeah.
Like
what yeah.
where does your quarterback excel? That probably should be the identity of your offense.
Running
and I don't think, you know, the word I've been using is disconnect. It feels like there's a disconnect between, you know, the offense, not just what you can imagine from this offense, but the offense you saw against Baylor, right? And what you've seen.
That felt more like, it's funny, and I wish I knew the answer to this, but that felt more like a zone read offense than an RPO against Baylor because they were because they knew they weren't going to throw. I mean, when they saw the defense like that, it sort of cut the P out of the RPO.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it was going to be what kind of run were you going to have? And I wish.
And as Floyd would point out, when you cut out the P, you've also cut out the option portion.
That's right.
And so you're just left with the run at that point. And that's what Auburn did against against Baylor. And that's not to say that's going to work
every
week, but to see it go drastically in a different direction that isn't working, right, makes you wonder, you know, how much they may go back to something that even if it isn't necessarily Hugh Freeze's style. You know, that's not the kind of offenses he's run in the past, but you know, I think great coaches fit, you know, what they want to do.
They fit their game plan to their players.
If that was the case, Jarquez Hunter would have been running all over the place last year. That didn't happen except for a few games.
You're right. Yeah. So I mean, Auburn's had some time. We will see if indeed they've been able to make adjustments. Which would make drastic changes, you would hope, in the offense.
Georgia, I think,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the weekend they were expecting to have against Kentucky, right? I mean, they're up multiple scores early. It's 28-point game until Kentucky scores at the very end. That's a bad situation getting worse in Lexington.
Yeah.
And I think for Georgia, I think they navigated that game. As you'd probably like to, you know, that's probably about what you.
A lot of their starters didn't play much in the second half.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of what you're hoping.
Georgia's basically had a half week off, where Auburn got a full week off. But were you surprised, guys, to see Georgia just a 3.5-point favorite?
Maybe a little bit. I think part of that is just the history of Jordan-Hare Stadium,
home field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the past it had been. You know, a place where good teams come to die, right? I mean, it just Auburn has had so many great wins here. I think about if I go back 40 years to my first game back in 85, I've probably seen 100 games in Jordan-Hare where Auburn was an underdog or expected to be close, and they've won, and the crowd was part of that, and the defense and special teams and everybody making plays, and we just haven't seen that recently at all.
No, you're right. I mean, it's been a while, and you know, hopefully the atmosphere is great. I mean, look, they're retiring Cam's jersey.
Yeah.
Like somebody was saying today, it's like, boy, they hope that the crowd's still excited by the time they're doing that, I would think at halftime.
It's so crazy to think about what could happen Saturday night, right? Because it could be one of those legendary nights at Jordan-Hare, right? Where the crowd is into it. It's a great game. And, you know, the crowd helps make a difference in the fourth quarter. I've seen that so many times. But if Auburn struggles again on offense and Georgia takes control of this game, it could be the complete opposite of that, right? It could be really, really ugly inside that stadium Saturday night, which would not be good, obviously. And it might force the hand, so to speak. I'm not saying it would force the hand, but it sure would make things a lot more difficult.
I think if you came out of it, that's why it's – I mean, the stakes – on Saturday are tough to like it's tough to find a game exactly like this. You know what? Georgia in 17 had some of this where the spectrum between are you going to be looking for a new coach really soon? Could you be starting something that you know or could this team look like a contender? Right? Like you know you've got that spectrum is on the table.
Yeah.
With the games coming up down the stretch. But you're right. I mean, I think that the it is urgent, right, to show some signs of life. And as far as Bill, your question about the spread, I think it gets back to how close and competitive, and maybe the final score with A&M doesn't reflect how much they controlled
because of the near touchdown interception.
But when you play two games on the road as competitive as Oklahoma and A&M, you probably should come back home thinking you can beat just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Those were road games, and those are road games against teams people think could be in the playoff. So at home, you know, you probably should have that attitude. And so I think, Georgia being favored by less than a touchdown at Jordan-Hare probably makes some sense. But you just hope like you can't continue the the slide. Like, the offense got worse from Oklahoma to A&M. Obviously, you know, A&M's defense played some role there, but if that trend continues, if that pattern continues, you get worse again. I wonder what kind of enthusiasm there's going to be the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brian, we talked in hour number one. I mean, there were a couple of shocking upsets.
There were.
This past Saturday, Florida had the same sort of situation.
Here we come again with Napier, same as last year.
That's right.
And
I was comparing Napier to Freeze.
Anytime you're ready to slam that, yep. You know, go ahead and slam the casket shut. He kicks it back open.
That's right. I got to look at their remaining schedule. October, are they going to make another run here? I don't know.
I don't know. But that was pretty shocking. Not as shocking as UCLA.
No.
Over Penn State. My goodness, James Franklin. I know he's had trouble winning the big games. That wasn't going to be a big game.
That was a collapse.
Oh, right? It was terrible. Yeah,
that was. And I'm sure, you know, UCLA with a new coach staff, it did some things they weren't expecting, but that they should have had that figured out by the second half and fourth quarter, and UCLA just kept driving down and scoring on them.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State was able to score.
Yes.
But they couldn't stop UCLA. No. That's what was crazy.
And that's a defense that they have put a lot into as far as bringing back players, paying the DC a bunch of money to come in there. So, I mean, that's just that's a tough situation.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of what you thought UCLA might get from Nico, right? You know, he plays a pretty, you know, especially getting them, you know, putting them in that lead. I mean, runs for 128, right? Three touchdowns on the ground on top of the plays he made through the air. I still think after the season's over, you know, whether it's the NFL or he's draft eligible, right? This is his third year in college football.
Yeah,
he redshirted. I mean, he's got the NFL considerations, or he could be one of the big fish out there in the portal for teams looking for an answer at quarterback if he wants to change, you know, if he wants to go in a new direction. But but this is this was a game that kind of reminded you, oh yeah, this is the quarterback of a playoff team and a guy people thought at someday would be the best quarterback in college football, you know, of his. You know, would be at
boy, how many different guys have we heard that about this year? I mean, really,
I know. Yeah.
I don't know that I can ever recall a year in which the opinions on quarterbacks have been so off.
Starts with Arch, of course.
I don't know if people thought Nico was going to be great this year because of the UCLA talent.
No, but I mean his star had plummeted.
Sure.
Yeah. From where it was a year ago.
Arch is the one, Brian. We made that point before you got here. The thought of Arch, like, There were folks talking about Arch being this, you know, having this generational season, and you know, names like Tebow and Joe Burrow and Cam Newton were being thrown out there. It's been shocking. It's been shocking through two games, and I don't want to write a guy off, but it has been a very, very rocky start, and now you've got a must win Red River game.
Oh, absolutely. Where, you know, the thing is, you don't know if Oklahoma's got John Mateer. So
I think he plays.
I think they try everything they can to play him.
Yeah,
kid's a gamer. He's going to get out there, but it's
you know, he wants to play against. Yeah. He wants to play against Arch. He wanted to play against Jackson. You know, he wants to play against Arch. He's a Texas kid.
Cut it off and put a hook on that hand, he's going to be out there against Texas.
You know, you never knew. I mean, it seems like no matter how highly touted somebody is, there's going to be somebody on the other side who says he's not really that good. But I mean, I remember when. You know, Arch was going through his senior in high school, and there were people going, hey, if his name was Arch Smith, he wouldn't be that big a deal. And
didn't they say that about Peyton, too, though? Wasn't there some belief that, like, Peyton was coming in as, you know, it was like a big deal? Like
I don't know that there was quite as much. Peyton didn't get as much hype as Arch. Yeah. Arch has gotten more hype than Peyton or Eli. I mean, he's gotten the most hype of anybody, you know, that I can recall, and for a long, long time at least. But it now appears that maybe there was something to that. I mean, because there were a lot of folks in Texas that didn't feel like Arch was the best player in the state of Texas.
He's not getting it done.
Well, now that's also now it's two road games too. I would point out the performances that we're really scrutinizing are. And I know he's had some shaky performances at home too, but it's Ohio State and Florida. the two losses. Bad news is Saturday's not a home game either.
That's right.
Like Saturday's not going to be in Austin, and they, you know, you can't just be, I mean, you can't only win at home and flop on the road, or you're gonna have some big problems, you know, down the line. But
yeah, they go to Athens too a little later.
And they've already found themselves in must win territory. Who thought Oklahoma would be 6 and Texas would be unranked when that game kicks off? By the way,
yeah,
like who had that one?
Nobody
back at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, because last year it was all right, Texas. What a great way to come in. They go 11-1. They're in the playoff. They come in and they nearly win the SEC. Yeah. They go unbeaten and get beaten by Georgia in the SEC championship game. And it's like, yeah, welcome to the SEC, Texas. And Oklahoma, meanwhile, really struggling. And then the next year, you've got the roles reversed.
Yep.
And you're right, Bill. Not just Arch Manning. Think about this. First team preseason all-conference quarterback was Lenora Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Second team was Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
I mean, third was Arch, right? So I mean, there's your first three, and I don't. I mean, wow. Look, Nussmeier's played a tough schedule.
He has, but
he's had injury problems. They've tried to keep quiet over there,
but they haven't. But I mean, it has not been the kind of season people thought they were going to have offensively. No. South Carolina is, and I believe
he got injured,
and they play each other, right? That's LSU South Carolina is this week.
Yes, it is.
So I mean, you got, you know, someone's probably getting knocked out this Saturday. And then, we were just talking about Arch. Like, it's, I mean, I, you know, before the season, I was telling you guys, you know, watch out for Trinidad, right? You remember me saying, hey, that second stringer at Ole Miss coming in from Ferris State?
Ferris State, which we now know is in Michigan.
And he's been, well, he's been as good as anybody at the position. Ty Simpson has.
And right now, it looks like the best quarterback in the SEC. Yep. I mean, the difference in perception after the opening game and now at midseason. Alabama has come a long, long way, and Ty Simpson has really played well. I mean, after the first weekend, Auburn goes on the road and beats Baylor. Alabama goes and lays an egg down in Tallahassee, and it's like, oh, wow. Boy, are things changed? Well, doesn't look like it now, a few weeks later.
No, and with Alabama, I mean, I still think you came out of the Florida State game more shocked by the defense than the offense, right? The way Florida State was able to pick up big yardage. But you thought they were going to –
missed some open guys. He doesn't miss guys in tight spaces, doesn't seem like, anymore.
And you thought Bama might figure things out defensively. The pressure was on – you know, tie to improve in order for that offense to find an identity. And yeah, he's been great, as you know, ever since that Florida State game ended, including in big moments against Vanderbilt and in that game in Athens the week before. Like, yeah, he's been getting better as the season goes on. And that's a tough break for anybody who was ready to see that season come crash and burn.
Well, it'll be interesting this week. Alabama's they're in Columbia, Missouri.
One of the longest
Saturday.
The conference's longest active win streak, I believe. Missouri's won
quietly. I mean, it's like ever notice how good they are.
Yeah,
well they've been playing.
There are people who would tell you Lane Kiffin has been far more successful at Ole Miss than Eli Drinkwitz has been at Missouri.
They have the exact same record over the last 2.5 seasons.
Yeah. And, I mean, and neither of them have played for the SEC championship or made the playoff. But I think for all the adoration, and look, and Lane Kiffin is doing something incredible at Ole Miss, right? Like, they don't win like this for this many years in a row at Ole Miss in, what, their history?
Oh, it's been 60-plus years, I would say, since they've done that. Back in the days of Johnny Vaught, maybe. Maybe they had three or four years like this in a row.
Modern history of the sport. Like, this is the best extended run by Ole Miss ever. Missouri's not the easiest place to win in the conference.
Nope.
And Eli's having
a great job.
And what a win that would be, coming off a bye week.
They've undefeated. Had an open date and get Alabama coming in. So,
I mean,
and Alabama got that monkey off their back. They paid Vandy back, and you know, now they're back.
Yep.
And look out.
Beat Georgia. Got a nice one. Yep.
Look out.
Tough one.
And it's a little hollow what Missouri's done so far because, you know, you can't control the schedule.
It is. They haven't played anybody. But, they beat Alabama, and they will rocket into the top 10.
Yeah, and deservedly so. Like, granted, they haven't gone on the road yet. You know, this year, their first road trip is at Auburn a week later. But if they can beat Alabama, that's Eli's biggest win as Missouri head coach, and they'll be in the thick of the conversation, and deservedly so. I think that could be a really interesting game on Saturday.
We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports wise? You want to get your thoughts on Auburn, Georgia? The schedule, we haven't talked about it in hour number two, but Auburn is swapping a home game against Baylor for they will be the home team and host,
right.
But the Auburn-Baylor game going to be in Atlanta next year. Anything on your mind sports-wise, come on in and join us. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline as we continue with the Monday Drive.
The Drive, Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. We just sort of quickly ran over a couple of news items. One, we do know that the Auburn-Missouri, we were talking about Missouri, Alabama-Missouri playing this Saturday. Then Missouri heads on the road for the first time all season. That's crazy to think about, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be past mid-October. Before Missouri plays a road game, and it's at Auburn. That's a 6:45 start, though, on ESPN.
So they're going to get a night game at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah. Now, the atmosphere is going to depend an awful lot on what happens this Saturday.
Yeah, it will.
Because, I mean, if Auburn wins and is 4-2, they're going to be ranked again, and there will be hope. And there will be, like, we can still do things, and it would be a great atmosphere for Missouri next Saturday.
It really would be.
And your four conference games, again, it's the preseason, but your four conference games after Georgia were against four of the teams picked to finish in the bottom five of the SEC. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt were four of the five teams, along with Mississippi State, picked to finish
behind. My prediction is Missouri's not going to finish in the bottom four of the conference.
No, I think Missouri's going to be voted into some folks' top four if they beat Alabama on Saturday, and I'm not just talking about in the conference. You know, they could skyrocket up the polls being undefeated, but that's sort of the belief as to if you turn the corner against Georgia and make that progress and win, you've got some games that seemingly line up for you after that. If you don't make that progress against Georgia, what kind of team are you going to have for that stretch?
If you don't make that progress against Georgia, Brian, and you go out and the fan, I mean, it will not be pleasant at the end of the game if Auburn, if the majority of fans left there woofing, in the stands, and Georgia has spanked Auburn.
Half empty swag surf, sort of deal where it's a big Georgia lead going into the fourth or something.
That would not be good.
No, that that would make it really tough for anybody to expect a great atmosphere the next Saturday.
Yes, against Missouri. Would, unless there was a change that got everybody fired up.
Unless it was a coach's debut. You're right, or I suppose a quarterback's debut or something drastic, between how close Oklahoma and A&M were, just in terms of considering that Auburn didn't play all that great, and it was still, but those were two games where you're leading Oklahoma in the fourth quarter and you've got the ball.
You really felt like the Oklahoma game. I mean, obviously you had a chance, but I mean, you felt like you were as good as them. It didn't feel that way against A&M.
Took a step backwards against A&M, but even in that game, which was one of Auburn's worst performances in conference offensively like this century,
Did you get the ball two or was it three? At least two, maybe three times.
You had
down six.
Yeah, you had several chances to, you know, you were one play away from taking the lead.
Three possessions in the final 7 minutes.
So
you had negative 1 yards on 10 plays, I believe it was.
So when you're talking about those, you know, two games like that,
terrible.
Two games like that on the road against current top 10 teams, what, two of the top five now, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, Oklahoma's. Oklahoma's 5-4. Like, is that the, you know, like the, I mean, to see it like that, yeah. I mean, coming home, maybe you can do considerably better.
Maybe
you need to. Like, it's where, I mean,
was it off the air or on the air a little while ago? I mean, Hugh Freeze has done this before. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's pulled off
three times.
Yeah. Well, and not just here. I mean, he's done it, he's done it multiple.
That's why he did it at Ole Miss. Even if you're as skeptical as I am right now, you still know because you have that history.
There's a chance.
There's a chance, yeah.
And I would still, I mean, even 2 years ago, one of those games in question was against Georgia. And while Georgia ultimately won, you know, they have the Brock Bowers drive in 23, the gap between the two teams in 2023, talent-wise.
So much wider than the gap now.
I would say Georgia was considerably better than Auburn.
Oh.
At almost every position in 2023. I think that has, and I will defer to our recruiting expert here.
No, that's...
Considerably narrowed,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, Georgia's probably not as talented as they were in 2023, 2022, when they were a juggernaut, you know, above basically everyone else in college football. Auburn has gotten closer to the middle, at least, of the SEC from a talent perspective. You know, and the games at home, like there's reasons to, you know, to think it can happen. It feels urgent. The hour's getting late, right? As Bob Dylan or Jimi Hendrix would tell you, like that's right. Like it's time.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks watching. From wherever, not just the tower. Yeah. All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you. What do you think? Do you think Auburn has a shot this weekend? They're about 3.5-point underdogs against Georgia.
Don't forget it's Monday.
Well, I know. We have Monday musings that we'll get to here in a little while with Brian as well as – yeah, I mean, I thought of that when you had the musical – A little take there a second ago. So, come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes. What was that?
With my help.
Yeah. Big help. I appreciate it. Well, hey, I don't have to make a pick every other week. That's
right.
Big help. All right, let's get back to the phones, the drive hotline, 334-321-1390. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Gentlemen, happy Monday to you. I'm just catching wind of this. What happened with – why did they move the Baylor game to Atlanta?
Money.
Yeah,
NIL.
You're able to package it now on neutral site games with that with the, I guess, organization, the Chick-fil-A committee or whatever that puts it on. Is able to funnel a good portion of the money they'd normally pay to the school into the players for NIL money. So that's why Auburn's doing this. That's why every school is going to start doing more of this. Mm-hmm. It's bad for college football. It's bad for fans, but it is the way things are shaping up to be just because of the structure of how you can give money to kids through NIL.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just terrible for the city of Auburn.
No question.
And as season ticket holders, I don't know.
I've had people asking me, do you think this is something you could see Alabama or LSU or Georgia doing? And it's a fair question.
You better believe they're going to do it.
Okay.
As soon as they start losing recruits to schools that are doing that, you better believe they will. There's no denying that you're going to have to do this to compete.
It does stink though for season ticket holders to know that there's only going to be six home games next year. It's going to be interesting to see
what the cost of those season tickets that are said, when we drop from 7 to 6.
If somebody sues and this new NIL thing falls apart and collectives can start paying players again, which they kind of already do in some places, then none of this matters. You're just back to where you were a couple years ago. So we'll see. Yeah.
Brian, I'm feeling your pain today a little bit. I'm feeling your voice. I'm feeling like, you know, normally, you know, I know us as fans, we you know, we obviously I don't really think we're going to see a change until we actually see a change, and I just don't see that happening. But
right.
You're sounding a little down, like you're not thinking there's going to be any changes.
You're talking about the offense?
Yeah. I mean, how you feel? I mean, you know, what are you feeling about it?
I am feeling skeptical about it.
Yeah.
But I also, as Bill and Dan and I have pointed out, know that Hugh Freeze has pulled off some surprises in his past, and he has run some really exciting offenses in his past. So I'm not ruling it out. I'm just really skeptical. I just the reason I am is because I absolutely despise the way the offense is run. I mean, I absolutely do. They don't run the ball, and when they throw it, they're throwing these little short passes. They cannot get a wide receiver open in space where he can catch it and turn upfield and run. Where if you turn on any other game in the country, you can see teams doing that. Why can't Auburn do it? I guess I'm a little fed up with the offense. If you can tell by my voice,
yeah,
there,
you think?
That makes me a little skeptical about. Well,
let me ask you, Brian. Like, what would be more surprising to you? Auburn trying what they've tried against Oklahoma and A&M, and seeing more success with it. Or a drastic new offense, or you know, drastic changes to the offense on Saturday against Georgia. Because I do wonder. I know Hugh Freeze is saying a lot of the same. You know, he's saying a lot of the right stuff about he's talking about quick game. He's talking about running the ball and things that folks are clamoring for. I just, you know, I mean, I understand, like Brian, I understand the skepticism of if it's, you know, if you're actually going to see those changes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you can make a change at this point, a drastic change. I mean, you're not going to blow up an offense. I mean, he's been doing the same thing. You know, it's the definition of insanity, in my opinion. I feel like we've been doing this runaround since Gus was there. And
yeah, that's another thing, right?
That's what makes it worse.
Yeah.
Is you feel like we already been doing this for a few years. Come on,
you have hired three straight offensive coaches, and this is the product they keep putting on the field. It's just unbelievable. We're doing this again.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I've had discussions with or on message boards and stuff that I have a difference from, a lot of people seem to keep pointing to quarterback being the issues. I still think it's an offensive philosophy issue. I just don't see us having any sort of identity and, like you said, running the ball and that type of thing. I don't know what we're doing. It's anyways.
I don't either.
Anyways, guys, thanks for the call. Have a good week.
I think number one is offensive philosophy, but I think there's a quarterback issue too.
There seems to be a bit of a. I mean, if the offense is what you've seen the last couple of weeks, and especially the A&M game, you know, not to overreact to just that one performance, but that does feel a bit square peg round hole, right? Like if you know, trying to get Jackson to run that kind of offense feels, you know, like it's playing against his strong suits and maybe limiting the offense as far as what they can do. Does that make? Do you see? Are you going to see something different? Are you going to see a different? I don't know.
I mean, Brian the caller said that it would be insane to change it up right now, but I'm feeling a little crazy. So yeah, I probably would. I would probably make some fundamental changes.
I think you also said that continuing to do the same thing is the definition of insanity. So I think you're ended up in a straitjacket no matter what in this situation.
Brian. If my wife is listening, she's probably like, okay, yeah. But no, I would absolutely make some big changes to the offense. If it was me, I don't expect that, though. We'll see.
You know,
we've seen crazier. I mean, you've seen teams that didn't even have an open date be able to,
right,
to make some drastic changes. Again, we'll see. I guess it's all because of what we saw in the A&M game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Oklahoma game didn't break my, you know, confidence or
the number of sacks. The number of sacks in the Oklahoma game had you worried about the timing of this offense, the offensive line, and Jackson.
So I fully expected to see something different in the A&M game.
That's correct.
That's when we didn't, and when we didn't there, that's when you wonder, well, why should we expect something different now?
And Brian, I wonder if you would agree with this, like with regards to the philosophy. Like, yeah, I don't want to sell Jackson short as a passer because he might have more.
What did Hugh Freeze say today, though, Brian? I mean, he said something today.
JG asked two questions back to back at quarterback.
Well,
second part when, about practice.
When
is that
he
what about?
Said yeah. When he asked him. Is it something that you see in practice?
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's two parts. And he said, when it's at Skelly.
I almost died when he said that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the thing, Hugh Freeze will give you an answer. And he will tell you what he is actually thinking. But he basically told us that, you know, when it's in Skelly and it's against air, Hugh is free. I mean, Jackson is free. And just
meaning he's
and
just
the ball's coming out.
Yeah.
Ball's coming out. But, you know, when you go into full scale everything, in other words, in pads with somebody rushing him, it changes. But this goes back to what I was thinking earlier. But they still think he's the best guy that they have.
Because I mean, plenty of coaches have been wrong about that.
Oh, I know. No,
plenty
but,
of them.
But what they had to go on was when they went full bore, pass rush and everything, he still was better than the other two guys they had. That doesn't mean he would be in a game, but that's the best gauge that you have right now.
I would say to them, prove it.
I
don't believe you. Sorry.
Yeah, and I still would say that between seeing Jackson in a different offense or seeing one of the other quarterbacks run this offense, I wouldn't mind seeing Jackson doing something that seems to better fit.
I want
to
see the zone read.
Yeah. I mean, I
want to see it like and you can run play action off that, but don't necessarily predetermine that it's just going to be based on the count that you see in front of you there on the defensive front.
Well, I think if you're going to make a fundamental change, if I would, the number one thing I do if you're forced to play Jackson Arnold is to use him as a running quarterback more. Run some of the base stuff that Gus did. That's going to catch a team off guard that they're not prepared for.
Some of the stuff you used with Robbie two years ago. It's in the playbook, right? I mean, what was the move of the offense when you had
– You don't have to change the whole offense. Just throw some things in there to catch a defense off guard and see if you can start building off that, you know?
You beat Baylor with 11 completed passes, right? You scored 38 points that night. You ran for 300-plus yards. Like, I just – and what you've seen has been so drastically different.
Georgia's results – Absolutely not going to do what Baylor did. They're not going to sit with high safeties against Jackson Arnold.
But Georgia
they're
going to
right.
But Georgia's pass rush hasn't been as prolific as it's been the last few years.
They probably feel like they can take some chances.
Yeah, they probably do.
And do some things, yeah.
You still got to put that water in the basement. You still got to land some body shots, Bill. You got to run the ball. You can't just be looking for knockout punches every single time.
No, that's right.
And if you do that, you just end up flailing.
I think that's one of the biggest problems is they're letting the defense dictate what they do too much, especially in the running game. And you know, I know you don't like to say this, and this is not how you build an offense. But a couple of 2 or 3 yard runs is not going to kill an offense like a 5 yard penalty or a sack or whatever.
No. 334-321-1390. Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, Spectre.
Hey guys, I'm going to say this again. If you're not going to change personnel, you got to fast tempo the offense. And I want to hear the stuff about, well, you can't do that if it's second down and 15. Yes, you can. It's very simple. It's like running a 2-minute offense. You do it so the defense does not have a chance to adjust on you. How many times have we seen the defense line up to against our offense, and also at the last second they'll shift.
Yeah,
all four guys will move up or down the line. You do not give them that chance to do that.
No, I think that's a great point. Yeah.
You do the fast tempo until it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that tempo would also help a quarterback like Jackson, who has a hard time, you know, getting the ball off. If they're going fast, he's got one or two reads, and they got to go.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be helpful to him, too. So, yes, I agree. That's another change they could make that would not be that difficult. They don't have to do it all the time, but maybe come out and try to catch Georgia at times off guard with some tempo, especially if you get them in an alignment that you like.
Yeah, you do it until it doesn't work. You don't give them the opportunity to bring in personnel from the sideline that are rested.
Well, I tell you what, Spectre, I mean, I noticed Georgia struggling with Alabama's tempo quite a few times in the first half of that ball game.
Absolutely. You're so right, Bill. But anyway, that was my point today when I was trying to get that message to Dan on Doug's show, that if they're not going to change any personnel out, you've got to change something on the offensive.
Oh, absolutely right.
But anyway, I'll talk more later, guys.
Good hearing from you, Spector. 334-321-1390. We still got Uncle Ollie. Hey, Uncle Ollie.
Hello, gentlemen. Always great to talk to you.
Hey, Unc.
So I'm going to try to be as positive as I can. So, first of all, this moving the game to Atlanta, it's another reason for people that have been walking the tightrope of, do I get tickets again and invest all this money in TUF and season tickets and all that? Yeah. Another reason to say, no, I'll just do SeatGeek for the good games.
Yeah. This is what happens when you nickel and dime people to death and start and continue to do that. They just get tired of it.
I'm TUF. I've gotten 10 tickets to every game since 1989. Every year I'm like, do I really want to do this again? Right. I did it again this year because Alabama and Georgia are at home.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this is going to be a great year. So, you know, it's the perfect storm. Auburn is 3-2. Everybody's down. Now we find out that a home game we had next year is going to be a neutral site. And I'm like, it's not worth it. It's not worth the TUF in buying 10 tickets for six games that I can go on SeatGeek and I'll come way ahead.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
Yeah.
And there's too many, and Uncle Ollie, there are too many different people. Justin Ferguson wrote a little bit about this in the newsletter. Like, there are too many different groups that you can point to as losers in this transaction, right? Students who miss out on a big home game that's never happened before in their limited time as Auburn students. Local businesses that don't get the big opening weekend at home against a team like Baylor.
Don't think that's not significant.
Said it earlier in the show, Uncle Ollie. I went to the Baylor game this year, and I met people, and I know there are thousands more that were Baylor fans really excited to visit Auburn for the first time and see what an Auburn home game is all about and experience all those traditions. And they're not going to get to do that now that this game's in Atlanta. There are season ticket holders, like you said, who lost out on a home game. Like, there are a lot of people who seem to get the short end of the stick in this deal.
The other thing too is that an Auburn home game is an advertisement for Auburn University. I mean, it's an advertisement for kids that are in different parts of the country that can see the tradition and the passion and all that stuff. They're not going to see when we're in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, this all started a long time ago when they made people, you couldn't park anywhere unless you were, in Los Chapoca. You know, when you start having to pay for parking.
Or pay to tailgate, basically, now. How many people just tailgate on their own anymore?
Exactly. Not many. And so, I don't know. It's just so discouraging to know that we're going to have to drive to Atlanta or, to see a game that really would have been a really cool thing, to see, in Auburn. But anyway, I'll get off of that. Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. How many Florida fans do you think on Saturday night were thinking, oh, no?
There were more than a few. I am sure of that.
We won. Oh, no.
Yep.
And as an Auburn fan, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of eking towards that. And I know that's horrible to say because I'm such an Auburn homer. But I'm like, so we beat Georgia. What changes?
Well, I would assume some things changed if you beat Georgia, right? Like I would be surprised if the – I mean, I asked Brian that earlier in the show. Like, I'd be surprised if the approach that you've taken the last 2 weeks is going to provide – now, maybe it does, right? And maybe you're back on the – you know, you think you're back in it. And the Missouri game a week later takes on this huge significance, and you know, maybe Auburn's favored in basically every game the rest of the way. But no, I can understand some folks that are that are dejected enough that they, you know, they don't want to see that comeback. They don't want to see that rally by the Freeze administration
when you're there at the ball game and it's going on, it's going to be tough to go yeah, we might be better off losing this one.
That's
the thing.
I agree.
Great stuff, Uncle Ollie. Got to get to our final break. We're going to see if we can squeeze in phone calls and Monday musings in the final segment today for us, Brian.
Oh, this is one y'all going to get pretty easy because it gives it away, but we're going back 69 years. That's to 1956.
56. Okay, I got two guesses.
Yeah. One of them's right.
Yeah, okay.
It's the release of the title song from the first movie that the King of Rock and Roll starred in.
Love Me Tender.
Boom.
Is it Love Me Tender?
Yes.
For some reason, Aura Lee.
Yes, golly, okay. You really nailed this. Yes.
Oh, that's the old song.
That's the original. That's the song it was based on. Yes.
They used Aura Lee on Bonanza episodes.
I was like,
what a ripoff of Love Me. Wait a minute. It's the other way around.
That was around before Love Me.
I might have guessed Viva Las Vegas until you started talking about Aura Lee.
Viva Las Vegas was a little later.
It was a little later on for The King. Yeah. Jailhouse Rock was that, but wait,
yeah.
Jailhouse Rock was a song and then it was a movie, right?
That's right. Well, so was Love Me Tender.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Yep. Well, actually, the movie was a different name. It was the Reno Brothers was the original name of the movie. It was changed to Love Me Tender because the song came out about a month earlier.
Yeah.
Was such a big hit that they changed the name of the movie just to sort of build on the excitement for the song.
And it was a wise move, I think, on their account. Is the music playing? Okay. Bill, Anthony, man, we are complete. I'll tell you what, Bill, we've got about 30 seconds. We can get a quick comment.
That's all it'll take. I'm done with a four off campus games. Not going to that. Ticket price would be $250. Who knows?
You know it.
$300. Yep. And as far as Georgia, I wish him the best, but trying to find yourself against Georgia is not a very good scenario. That's all I got.
Good call, Bill. Appreciate that. Brian, always great having you in. Tell everybody how they can keep up with everything going on.
Check us out, auburnsports.com. A lot of coverage on the switch of the Baylor game.
Right.
Justin just talked to John Cohen, a little video thing he put up. You can get John Cohen's word from his mouth speaking directly about this. All that and more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on Twitter, /X at BMATAU.
We always appreciate it, Brian. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That is it for us here on this Monday. Sorry, Anthony. Get us a call back if you get a chance tomorrow. But we're out of time. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.